Chapter 31. That is more money than we've ever kept in our shared account. A sick feeling washes over me. Is Levi involved? It's ludicrous. There must be a plausible reason why Levi would keep so much money in our account. I'm certain of it. The bank lady asks if I'm still there. Uh-huh, I manage. The statement for September's activity will mail out on Monday. Would you like to change the address back? No, keep everything the same. I'll get the statements from Levi, along with answers about the unusual activity. I ask, is it possible to put two addresses on the account? No, our policy is to mail one hard copy. A beat later, she adds, but you could give your email address and authorize monthly statements to be sent electronically also. After I follow her suggestion, I end the call but remain standing in the kitchen. Harry rubs her head against my leg. I do the math on Levi's per capita payments. He turned 18 in January, which means he's been getting the adult amount for almost 9 months now. $36,000 a year means $3,000 each month minus taxes. Last year, as a minor, he got $12,000, which probably worked out to around $900 a month after taxes. Plus, he's reimbursing his mom for payments on the Hummer she financed for him. When the bank lady said the current balance, my first thought had been to question whether Levi was involved somehow. I feel ashamed. I had believed the worst about Uncle David. Haven't I learned anything about jumping to the wrong conclusions about a loved one? But I'm supposed to follow clues wherever they lead, aren't I? It feels like a battle raging between my brain, gut, and heart. In the before, I usually relied on science and math, linear thinking. But does that mean I should ignore my gut instincts? Is it like a pie chart where making one slice larger takes away from the other slices? Harry bites my chin, annoyed by my leg jiggling under the covers. I push her away. Go bug Mom, you pest. I put her in the hall and close my bedroom door, only to toss and turn. I try pushing away every troubling thought from today by thinking about Jamie. His kiss in the elevator, and later, in my hotel room. I imagine what someday might be like with him, and slide my hand under the blanket. But why did Jamie's kiss feel different this afternoon, right before the storm hit? Storm. Stormy. I've got to figure out how to question Stormy. Stormy's dad. I know the sour look Grand Mary gave Mr. Noden's grandfather. She had given me the same look when I told her about Grandma Pearl fixing my earache with my pee. Psh! The moment is ruined. I'm left with no choice but to recite the periodic table of elements. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon. Do you even know what I did to prove my love for you? Travis pulls an old revolver from the back of his jeans. He follows the sound of my gasp 10 feet away, aims the shaking gun at my nose, cheek, mouth, forehead. Don't shoot, it's Donis, Lily gapes at me. What are you doing here? Each scent finds me. WD-40, pine, Travis's stink, damp moss, decaying bark, ammonia. I'm gonna die. Lily will watch me die. She's for real? Travis asks. 'Cause the little people won't leave me alone. They're out here, all around me. He slashes diagonally at invisible enemies as if his gun has become a machete. He isn't paying attention to me. I can grab Lily's hand. We can run from him or get into Jamie's truck. Travis aims at my face again. I'm terrified. I don't want to die. I want my mom. This will kill her too. Travis, the little people aren't trying to get you. Just give me the gun, Lily says. She reaches for it, insistent, a steady palm with fingers outstretched. Give it. Now. He holds it out for her to take. His hands are twitchy to the point of spasming. Travis, give me the gun before you hurt Don. I can't do this without you. His hand steadies. I love you. Pop. Lily falls backward, landing on her back, arms outstretched. Travis stares at her before turning to me. "They're so mad at me," he whispers. "The little people. I just wanted her to love me again. She's the only person who ever loved me. Believed me when everyone else ditched me. If only she just tried it, Donnie. But she wouldn't. So I added it to my cookies. She didn't want those either. This was the only way." He raises the gun to his temple. I snap upright, grateful for the noise beyond my bedroom door, pulling me away from that dream. No, not just a dream. A memory. The horrible moment when Travis steadied his aim and shot Lily. I've known Travis practically my whole life. How could he do that to Lily? Travis killed her, all while saying how much he loved her. Wait, I dreamed the words. Lily's last words were to protect me. Travis said something about the little people? Am I unlocking memories or just inventing them? One of the elders had mentioned the little people. It takes me a minute to remember. Leonard Manitou, Macy's grandpa. He doesn't eat lunch at the Elder Center every day. I want to ask him about the little people. Asking the right way means bringing Sema to him. I'll need to pick up more pipe tobacco today before I get Granny June, just in case he's there. I hear the noises outside my bedroom start up again. The squeak of the mop wringer. Water splashes back into the bucket. Familiar pine scent drifts beneath my door. Mom's midnight cleaning frenzy. "He loved me. I know it, David. Even after what I did." My brain automatically translates the spoken mishmash of Grandmary's French, Grandpa Lorenzo's Italian, and the language Mom and her brother invented together. I should have told the truth. No matter how angry I was at him, everything could have been different. My baby would have her dad. Mom must be dipping the mop in the bucket, sloshing water with frantic motions. "David, he promised we'd have everything after he made a team. He thought Mom and Dad would accept him then. Be patient, Grace. We're on Indian time is all." My mother's laugh is a delicate giggle as she compresses the mop wringer again. I said, "Doesn't that mean always late?" But Levi said, "Indian time really means that things happen when they're supposed to." She begins to cry. I usually pull the covers over my head at this part. Tonight, I slip from my bed, open the door, and tiptoe down the hallway. Why can't Indian time let you go back in time? Change the things that weren't supposed to happen? We never should have gone to the island. I shouldn't have looked for him. Never should have opened that bedroom door. He said she got him drunk. Well, I was at the party too, and no one was twisting his arm to do all those shots. As I move through the living room, her words are unintelligible between raw, choking sobs. My brain fills in the gaps. This is not my first time hearing her heartache. Why did he jump in the truck at the last minute? He should have just let me go. Why did I drive so fast? Why didn't I just hit that goddamn deer instead of swerve? Why did I lie and say Levi was driving? Why? I answer from the kitchen threshold. It's the first time I've interrupted her confessional. Because that night you wanted to tell Dad about me, and instead you found him in bed with Dana, I say as gently as possible. She rushes into my arms, still weeping. I continue. Because you were shocked and angry that he cheated and broke his promises to you. Because you were a 16-year-old girl who was scared about what your parents would do when they found out you were 3 months pregnant. I lean down to kiss her forehead, the way she did to me every night after a bedtime story. The way she still does whenever I have a fever. There's healing medicine in these kisses. Because you panicked when the police showed up, and when you tried to tell the truth later at the hospital, no one believed you. Then your parents sent you to live with family in Montreal. By the time you came back with me, Dad was married to Dana, and Levi was born. Her voice is a resigned whisper. It's so unfair. Dana got everything he promised to me. My heart breaks for her life altered by secrets and scandals, by wounds so deep the scar tissue keeps building up, layers of bulging, dark red keloids encasing her until she cannot move, leaving her stuck somewhere in the past. Scars made by the broken promises of Levi Joseph Firekeeper Sr., the king of guy lies. Maybe my first wound was so deep that it never healed. My mother wasn't the only person he made promises to. My dad was the first guy who ever lied to me. I was 7 years old. It still hurts.